Well, at about 12:15 a.m. our time, Ronnie Lee Gardner, a 49-year-old multiple murderer, was shot by firing squad 25 years after he committed his murders. And it's the first use of a firing squad in the United States for 14 years. There have only been three such cases since the 70s, all of them in Utah. So this is a pretty unusual event and quite a big deal here in the States.
So why was this extraordinary event?
Why is Utah the one of the only two states in the United States, apart from Oklahoma, that allows death by firing squad? And, you talk to historians, they deliberate about how this was a frontier state. It was a part of the march west by the Mormons. And it sort of lived by the gun, died by the gun. It's sort of a state that really thinks the gun is an important thing. And so perhaps it's not a coincidence that the firing squad still exists here. But more specifically, Ronnie Lee Gardner had the choice between dying by firing squad or the much more common lethal injection, which is a cocktail of three drugs that put you to sleep and then sedate you and then stop your heart. He actually chose to go by firing squad, and I talked to his daughter, and he explained to her, "Look, I live by the gun. I murdered with guns, and therefore I should die with a gun." It's quite a sort of Utah thing to say, really.
So there was never any question of him claiming his innocence up to his point of his death.
No, he didn't claim his innocence, but he did try and stop the execution going ahead. He pleaded for mercy, and his argument was twofold. One, that he'd had a very, very appalling upbringing, which indeed he had. He'd been abused as a kid, was neglected by his parents, and lived in a whole range of institutions from the age of about five. He had a pretty appalling childhood. And his second argument was that he was a changed man in the last 5 or 10 years. He'd found remorse, and he wanted to dedicate himself to helping other disadvantaged kids like he had been, and he wanted to sort of set up a farm, an organic farm, paradoxically, for them, where he would help kids kind of find their way back to the proper tracks.
Can you tell us about how they do a firing squad execution in the United States today?
The whole thing is gruesome. He was brought into, at about midnight, into this specially designed chamber for executions in Utah State Prison. He was sat into this metal chair and strapped down with six different straps, one across his forehead, over his wrists. And then five expert marksmen, who are all law enforcement officers from the state of Utah, who were not named because they're protected from identification in case of reprisals, they stood behind a brick wall, unseen by him or anyone else. And there's a sort of a gap in the wall through which they put their rifles, their Winchester 30-30 rifles. And there was a countdown. It went 5, 4, 3, 2. And weirdly, no one could have quite explained this, but the team of riflemen had agreed to shoot on two. So they went 5, 4, 3, 2. And at that point, there was a huge boom. And they shot him on a target, a circular target that a doctor had put over his heart. And that's where the riflemen shot.
Were you allowed to be present, or did you have to wait outside?
I mean, all foreign press isn't allowed in. It's virtually impossible to get into an execution in America if you're from abroad. There were a very large number of media representatives. There were nine media people from the local media networks, TV and papers, who sat in. And it was quite interesting listening to them afterwards. They said after he was shot, his arm clenched and his hand went up and down for quite a while, and they thought he must be still alive, and they even wondered whether they were going to shoot again, but they didn't. And they also had a little debate among themselves about how they reacted to it as media people, seeing this extraordinary thing. And sort of half of them thought it was actually quite surgical, or sanitized was the words that some of them used, which was an odd word, I thought. But others thought it was very violent and very, very horrible.
And what about outside the prison? Were family and members there supporters of the man who was killed?
Yeah, pretty extraordinary scenes outside. In the car park, there were three groups of family people huddled. The largest group of about 20 people was a huge extended family of Gardner himself, the prisoner who was shot. Very emotive scenes. They released lots of colored balloons at the moment the news came through that he had died. They said symbolizing how his soul was going to heaven. And they were all very much anti the death penalty, which is partly paradoxical because he himself said he supported the death penalty, but they didn't. They said there are 10 commandments, and one of them is thou shalt not kill. And then there were two groups of family members of the victims. The first was a niece of Michael Burdell. He was killed by Gardner 25 years ago when Gardner tried to escape from a courthouse. He was shot through the right eye. And this niece, interestingly enough, was very heavily against the death penalty. She said that the victim, Burdell himself, had always in his life been opposed to violence of any nature and was very strongly against the death penalty, and he would have hated to see what had happened to the man who killed him. At the far end of the car park was the daughter of a bailiff at the court who was shot but not killed by Gardner when he tried to make this escape. He died 10 years later, but she said he lived a very, very sad and troubled life in those last 10 years of his life. He was very much in pain, he was sick, and he was very scared that Gardner would one day escape again from prison. And she was very much in favor of the death penalty. I spoke to her after he died, and she said, "I'm relieved. It feels like £100 have been taken off my shoulders. We can move on now. I'll never hear his name again."